What's your question, Senor?
My question is if the eugenics movement in the States is totally dead or not right now.
It's not totally dead, it's resurrecting itself. The question is the eugenics movement dead in the United States? The answer is, it's coming back to life in a new science that I've called nugenics. And nugenics will allow people to be discriminated against, quarantined, and exiled into non-entity existence by corporations who believe they do not get enough money from them. It will no longer be ethnic identity and national flags. It will be corporate worth. And right today, now, yesterday, tomorrow, a week from now, the Chinese are using these methodologies to create a sub-societal group based on what they call social credit. Hundreds of thousands of people a day are being identified in China right now, thanks to Google, Microsoft, and many other companies on the stock market. They're identified by facial recognition. That hooks to their phone. That hooks to their social media. And if they're not in conformity, if they criticize, if they don't spend the proper money, if they don't do the right things, they can't live as you and I. Already, 3 million airplane tickets have been denied to people with bad social credit. In the same way that you could not buy a car without good financial credit. Hundreds of thousands of railroad tickets have been denied to people who can't even take a train. And then their social credit number continues to go down if they even talk to another person with a bad score, creating a situation that I call the algorithm ghetto, where people will shout at the rooftops and no one will hear them because their accounts, their identity, their message will be relegated to a zombie status. So yes, it can happen again. It's happening now. And the final act will be the implementation, you heard it here, of RFID, radio frequency identification. It's in our driver's license in the United States. So even if you're in your house, in a hospital, in the desert, they can know where you are and who you are. And they will know your destiny before you know your destiny, because it will be in the algorithm ghetto. Thank you for that question. Let me take another question. Yes, please.
Well, I was just wondering, I work as an addiction counselor in the United States, and I wonder if the way prisons are run today in the U.S., whether, you know, the way they operate, is it influenced by those early movements? Because oftentimes that institutional racism still takes place, but I would say it's more of an elegant, modern-day scheme that they only have.
Well, the question is, do we see this in the prisons functioning? And I can tell you right now that most of the earliest eugenic theories were based on criminality, so-called born criminals. At one point, they thought they could identify your criminal destiny by looking at your eyes. They called that beady eyes. And the first sterilization was in the Jeffersonville in Indiana prison. And there were many activities done where prisoners have lost their rights. And so the answer is yes. And here's the pattern. They'll justify it first in the prison. And when they're done with the prison, they'll move to the handicapped. And when they're done with the handicapped, they'll move to the mentally challenged. And then when they're done with the mentally challenged, they'll focus their attention on the worthless. But they will decide what is worthless. Thank you for that question. I'll take one more question, okay? Senor, we had a wonderful lunch. I got it. All right, what's your question, Senor? And it was great having lunch with you. You're a great guy. Thank you.
Thank you. I just want to take a practical approach to this. I'm going to advise to all our organization, the people that are in our association, to boycott IBM, to boycott Ford, Henry Ford, Nazi level. So we're not going to buy Ford and not IBM, period.
Okay, so the man says, what about a boycott of IBM? Ladies and gentlemen, I used IBM computers to get this information. There were five major corporations that made all the difference to Hitler. First, the Ford Motor Company and Henry Ford by creating the protocols of the Elders of Zion. And I wrote about that and becoming an inspiration to Adolf Hitler with a picture on his in his den. And ultimately Ford was boycotted by the Jews. And when it was time to go from the Model T to the Model A, he destroyed the Dearborn Independent. But this was not done by one man, Henry Ford. It was done by the company that distributed the information, but it was Henry Ford who made it possible for the Nazis to believe it wasn't enough to expel the Jews out of Germany, they had to expel them from every other country too. Second, Carnegie Institution. I've told you what the Carnegie Institution did by creating and transplanting the concept of the master race. Three, the Rockefeller Foundation. I explained what Rockefeller did to fund the concept of subhuman bacterial life. Five, General Motors. No horseback, no Holocaust on horseback. No Holocaust on horseback. General Motors went in and motorized the Third Reich. Got them into mass assembly, made it necessary for them to build the Autobahn, and made it necessary for Hitler to form an alliance with Haji Amin al-Husseini and the Arabs to get the Arab oil, especially in June of 1941, just before the invasion of Russia. That was General Motors. And the fifth company is IBM. Where did Hitler get the names? Who did the census? Who hired the census workers? Who did all this? Who made it organized? Not just a series of massacres, but organized so that when the Nazis came into town on their General Motors truck, the Blitz truck made by General Motors for the Blitzkrieg. And by the way, General Motors also did the torpedo heads, the Ju-88 bombers, and the landmines. The arsenal of democracy, yes, but first the arsenal of fascism. Without IBM, it would have been a bad series of massacres. But the Holocaust that you know, the Holocaust of the big giant numbers, that was the IBM Holocaust. And while all the other companies have apologized and tried to move forward and given the information to scholars, IBM is still the only one trying to hide the truth, trying to stonewall the world, and trying to forever make it impossible to get the full story. I'll just mention this. They stonewalled me. I wanted their records. In order to keep the records from me in the archive, they overnighted all the records from the IBM archives into New York University for study. They gave them not to a Holocaust scholar, but a biblical scholar from the Dead Sea Scrolls, a guy who could never figure him out. We went to that guy and we said, give us the documents. You have 5 boxes in your closet. He says, I just got these. I know nothing about them. You're not a student. You're not faculty. I can't give you these documents. I'm sorry. I can't cooperate. But I can go to lunch. And I took the documents. And that's how I exposed the crimes of IBM, to which they've never answered. Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen.